Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
I was wondering if you two were coming to the Green Pine Grove Town Square Christmas Eve Festival of Lights, Christmas Tree Decorating Contest Finalist Gala tonight.
The Green Pine Grove Town Square Christmas Eve Festival of Lights, Christmas Tree Decorating Contest Finalist Gala tonight? Of course we'll be at the Green Pine Grove Town Square Christmas Eve Festival of Lights, Christmas Tree Decorating Contest Finalist Gala tonight. How could we miss the Green Pine Grove Town Square Christmas Eve Festival?
Good morning, sweet world, and welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Wednesday, December 6th, 2023. I'm J.E. Skeets here in the Classic Factory, and alongside me, as always, Tass Mellis.
Podcast listeners, this is for you.
Next to him, it's the bearded one, my top shot hot boy, Trey Kirby.
Heyo.
Heyo. And over yonder, making the magic happen, super producer JD.
Hello.
There he is. Here we are. We also got Jerome here in the Classic Factory. Jerome, yell for the people.
Hello!
There he is! Jerome down here from Toronto for the rest of the week. Shout out to the stream team for joining us live right now on YouTube. Smash that button. The like button. There's only one button. Like it. Is there a down button? Can you dislike it?
Yeah.
No one's ever done that.
Yeah. We don't know. It doesn't work. Subscribe if you haven't done that. And comment away as you already are. The stream teamers are already debating that controversial timeout in the Lakers game. Before we get to all that, I told you about getting mugs as the perfect stocking stuffer. What about an actual gift for people? What about a ho 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 Dunks hoodie, t-shirt? It's one of our most underrated designs with TK, Santa TK himself, on the front there. Look at this guy.
What a look.
That's a power look, people. So, again, go to nodunks.com for all of your No Dunks merch, and that's one of my favorites. I think everybody needs, like, except Alex Wong. Everybody needs a green sweater or shirt, or maybe a red one for the holidays. So this would be a great one to go grab.
100% agree. You think of red as the predominant color around the holidays. Don't sleep on green is what we're saying here.
Do you think you look better in red or green? Tough colors for some people to
really
pull off.
Really tough.
Yeah.
Better. They're just both great, I would say. I look great in both, I think.
All right, or
horrible in both. It depends. It depends on the garment.
Depends on your look that day, maybe.
Yeah.
So go to nodunks.com for all your merch. Okay, we had a wedgie last night.
Hey.
Take it away, Eagle and Reggie.
LaForce Davis. Oh! A block shot wedgie! This is like an eclipse, Reggie. That is the first ever in-season tournament wedgie.
Well, is it? No, it's not. In the knockout round, yes, Eagle. As wedgie number 10, that's good. The pace is picking up, but we did have a wedgie in the Bulls-Raptors game. Javon Carter with the first ever actual in-season tournament wedgie. But hey, look, they were pumped about the rare nature of a block wedgie. That's true.
Doesn't happen often.
That's the first one this season. We get a handful every year. I guess we give that one to Bates Giop. It looked like Allen got a piece of it first, but then he really stuck it in there with 80 going up. Is everybody okay with that?
Oh yeah.
Okay, good.
I wouldn't mind Nine Eagle. calling Reggie Wedgie at that point.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
That would have been great.
You must be pumped, eh, Wedgie Miller? That would, yeah.
You think he's just waiting for Reggie to say it first? You can't call another person Wedgie to their face. No. If they're willing to do it, then all bets are off.
They were excited. That's what we love to see. And thanks, everybody, for tagging us and tweeting at us. And good stuff there at the end of the first half. Let's get into the actual games, though, and we'll start with that one. And here's the headline. LeBron and the Lakers, they snag the last semifinal spot after a controversial timeout in the 106-103 win over the Suns. We have the clips, but Tass, I mean, this is what everybody's talking about.
Is that what we want to start with?
Sure, let me set the scene. Lakers up 2, 11 seconds to go. Suns need a steal or an intentional foul. LeBron gets the ball into Austin Reeves. He's hounded. He's bumped a little bit by Devin Booker. He gets sort of trapped by Kevin Durant. The ball, it squirts loose, and you see LeBron sort of at the top of your screen there. He is calling for the timeout, and the officials grant it to him, but everybody's all up in arms because, hey, hold on. That was a loose ball. Did anybody actually have the ball? Did Reeves really have the ball for LeBron to call that timeout? Thoughts?
Well, at first, the Suns should have played better if they wanted to win.
Yeah.
That was a problem. This was a strange, strange IST game. The Lakers said, okay, you guys shoot 75 times. We shoot 75 times. You guys shoot 100 times. We'll still beat you. You know, we'll take care of that. 100 times. We'll shoot 100. You shoot 75. You guys turned it over a lot. We'll take care of that. You guys hit more threes. We'll take care of that. They just got second chance points after second chance points in this game. And Austin Reeves hit that big three right before there. And then it was a two-point game. And yes, that is controversial. Was the whole team calling timeout when Austin had the ball? I guess not. It was really close. Was he fouled? I guess not. It was the wrong call. It was just the wrong call at a wrong time, really.
We'll probably find out about the last two-minute report. I assume they're going to say it should have been a foul on Booker.
Definitely should have been.
Yeah, because he does hit him there from behind.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, it'll be interesting how they address the actual timeout called, because was that thing loose while LeBron is trying? And you've seen probably the clips. People have synced up the TNT overtime cameras, and maybe LeBron is calling it a little bit more earlier than you sort of see at first. You know, they're trying to say he has it pinned to his leg still, I think is what the officials said after the game to the pool reporters. Yeah. Your thoughts on this, you know, again, this controversial play here.
It looked like the ball was loose when the timeout was called. I think if you go back and slow it down, we don't have the benefit of the green pants guy taking the video so that we can actually see when Reeves has the ball trapped on his leg. LeBron catches it or starts calling for a timeout at like 8.4 seconds, but they don't give him the timeout until 7.4 seconds. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. But I kind of think it's turnabout is fair play here because it should have been a foul on Booker. He comes over to foul Austin Reeves. They don't call it, so then he goes into a trap. They get
really?
The steal.
I thought he kind of just held up for a second. He bumped him. There's no doubt.
Yeah, that's the foul part.
Yeah, but he was kind of just standing there. That was the weird thing. I don't think he actually fouled.
So you don't think they'll say that in the last two-minute report, which probably drops in during the show here?
They will probably just to sell it a little bit. He did bump him, but I don't think he actually went up there to foul because they wanted the ball real bad.
Well, they were going to have to foul or, yeah, obviously cough up a steal. Yeah. Vogels was pissed. He's like, of course. He's like, it's a loose ball. You can't call a timeout during a loose ball. The whistle blows. I don't know why. Everything in the league is reviewable. I don't know why they can't be reviewable. We got the trap. We got the turnover. And the damn whistle blows. It's just frustrating. Of course, he's going to be frustrated. But to speak to what you were saying there, Tass, Kevin Durant was like, who cares about that? We played like shit. Like, you know, him and Booker turned the ball over a combined 12 times. As a team, they had 22 turnovers, which led to 25 Lakers points. So that sloppiness, right from the first quarter, they had 10 turnovers. It was amazing they were even in this game.
Yeah.
So, you know, again, that one play, sure, that sucks. They got the short end of the whistle there. But play better and you probably get this victory. Hold on to the ball five more times and you probably get the victory.
Yeah, exactly. 22 turnovers, and then they allowed 22 offensive rebounds. So like Tass is saying, 25 extra shots, basically, for the Lakers. Mm-hmm. When you're playing a game that ends up being a three-point victory, 25 extra attempts really comes through. And that's why the Lakers won, and that's why Kevin Durant said afterwards, yeah, we might have got screwed, but what really screwed us was botching it for the first 47 and a half minutes of the game.
Yeah, and he had a great night shooting the ball. It was surprising because the Lakers do have now, with everybody sort of healthy and ready to go, they were throwing big bodies at him. They're throwing Vanderbilt at him, and he is a huge man. But for him to shoot 12-17, Book just didn't look right out there. Those two guys, they turned it over a ton combined. But the Lakers, just throwing bodies and bodies and bodies. I thought Cam Reddish was pretty good on Booker throughout the second, third, and fourth quarter.
Pretty good at slapping him in the face.
Yeah, they hated each other. They wanted to. I know Booker wanted to fight him real bad.
Yeah, I mean, because he kept getting hit in the face. Yeah. Cam Reddish, I agree, he was pretty good against Devin Booker because he was playing really, really physical and getting away with a lot. You know, it's the IST. Yeah. They were letting things go.
I loved how the Lakers actually played that game with all these sort of, now that everybody's back healthy, or for the most part everybody is, these defensive-minded wings. They played up and physical and, like, put the pressure on these guys. That led to a lot of these turnovers, and, you know, they feel good with AD behind them and that the Suns aren't going to kill them sort of at the rim. Yeah, with all these guys back, their energy and just athleticism, it helps. You know what? You want to pair those type of guys around a LeBron and AD, and I thought, you know, right from the jump in this game, they came out with the energy, and maybe it was the playoff atmosphere of the IST that they allowed them to be a little more physical. I think there's some truth to that.
And they had so many second chance points because they were on the offensive glass. They were just getting after it. And they would have had way more if Anthony Davis could have some clean putbacks. But he could not. So it's just weird that in this game, the Suns have more threes. They shot way better. How the Lakers shoot 37% and still win this game. The numbers all say the Suns should win this game. But somehow, the Lakers were just scrappy. They got the scrappiness back. All those dudes, they got to get bigger. That's an issue. They just need to play somebody big as well, because I know Anthony Davis is always playing five. He did a good job, but how did he miss putbacks?
Finished with a great line.
Yeah, he was exhausted, I thought. He carried in the first half, 20 points, 8 for 16. Second half, 6 offensive rebounds, like you're saying. He just could not make the putbacks. Still scored 7 points, but went 2 for 10. The thing is, he outplayed Nurkic in both halves anyways, so it didn't matter. A 7-point half for Anthony Davis last night was equivalent to what Nurkic did the entire night. And Nurkic was getting dragged into every single pick and roll down the stretch. It was like LeBron just wanted to score on him every time. So he basically did. Scored 15 of the Lakers' first 19 in the fourth quarter, assisted on the other four. So after Reeves carried in the third quarter, you know, the Lakers looked at who they were playing. They said, okay, we're either going to score on Nurkic or Grayson Allen. And that's going to be the problem for the Suns. Yep. They're going to have to play at least one of those guys. You know, maybe Grayson Allen takes a seat once Bradley Beal's actually healthy, but they're going to have a couple of targetable defenders out there almost all the time.
And you've been calling it for about a month now, I guess since the start of the in-season tournament, Tass. You're like, LeBron, he wants to go to Vegas. This guy is headed there. Again, got a little help maybe from the officials last night at the end with the timeout warranted to him, but here he goes. Lakers will be playing, obviously, in the second game on Thursday night in the semifinal matchup. But he really took over. I mean, Trey's right. Like, this guy, I know Reggie's always saying, appreciate greatness. We got to appreciate it. And all we hear about all the time is, you know, this is pretty amazing. We shouldn't, like, gloss over it that the guy is turning 39 at the end of the month and is still a top 10 player easily in the league and just completely takes over games. It's pretty nuts to think about. I mean, yeah. I mean, I know I do it. I'm guilty. I'm like, this guy's in year 21. He's still one of the best.
I know. People wondering if he's a little too old. So I think that's why he made that basket. And then he said, I'm back. I'm pretty sure he said, I'm back. I haven't been reading mouths lately all that well. But he said, I'm back. You know, 3 minutes left in this game. And whether or not he plays in the finals in Vegas doesn't really matter to him, because he can go see his son play if he does play on Sunday.
That's right.
Son Bronny was in the crowd. He wasn't jumping around or anything. He was just there. I like how the camera person going to Bronny James. You got the job done in the fourth quarter as being the guy. He did play incredibly well throughout the entire game. And to be on the offensive glass, like, he had 3 offensive boards. He had 11 assists. He was Bron. He
played 40 minutes, didn't he, too? I mean,
he almost had a 5-by-5.
Wanted to win this game, no doubt.
4-by-5.
4-by-5, there you go. Yeah. Ziller wrote in his newsletter this morning, we're more than a decade past the first LeBron versus KD best player in the world debates. We're a decade past that. And while maybe neither of them are there at the top anymore, they're freaking close, is what Ziller points out. And that's amazing. It's true. Like, these two are going head to head a decade after we're debating who's the best player in the world, and they're still in the conversation. It's
awesome. I just hadn't really thought about it, that LeBron won his first title playing against Kevin Durant, and Kevin Durant won his first title playing against LeBron. Like, they've been the two of the best players in the league for, like you're saying, Skeets, literally a decade at this point. So, yeah, I don't know. I guess we're just going to have to wait till their careers are over to really remember all of the things they've done against each other. And we also had that huge break where they just didn't play each other because of injuries and COVID and all that kind of stuff.
Any other thoughts on this Lakers victory here and moving on?
Yeah, that record of Bron versus Kevin Durant in the regular season, how Bron has won most of those games, but hasn't won all the playoff games, is 5-9. 5 wins, 9 losses in the playoffs because the Golden State scenario, but has been kicking ass during the regular season.
What is he, 18-6, LeBron, now against him in the regular season?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. 18 wins, 6 losses. It's a strange one. That's a strange one.
Any other notes, TK?
I mean, Austin Reeves was awesome last night. He really carried, I thought, in the third quarter, 13 points, 5 of 7 from the field, 2 of those 3s. Then he hit that big 3 with 15 seconds left, basically another I'm him type of moment.
Yeah.
Really, really celebrating that one. The Lakers really only got good performances from LeBron, AD, and Austin Reeves. Everybody else was in single digits. Nobody else shot over 50%. I guess Max Christie was 1 for 2. He hit a 3 that was actually pretty important, I thought. But that seems to be the recipe for the Lakers, and they're really settling on it now as we play defense. That's how they won the championship a few seasons ago. Mm-hmm. And then we get good performances from LeBron, hopefully AD, and hopefully Reeves as well. Him moving to the bench has been helpful, but they get nothing from Reddish and Prince. So I don't know how long Reeves will stick on the bench. I think ideally they would like him being able to start and play alongside those guys because he's rounded into form after a slow start.
But he'll clearly play the fourth quarter no matter what, if he comes off the bench or not, over D'Angelo Russell, because he does play defense. And to go along with some long dudes, obviously LeBron and Anthony Davis and Cam Reddish, who, yeah, couldn't hit a shot. He was 0-for, but I thought his minutes were important in getting in Booker's face over and over and over again. And his growth has happened. You know, since he was here in Atlanta, it seemed like he was going to be a good player. He played Chris Middleton pretty well in that playoff series. That's his only playoff series. And then things went downhill. Mm-hmm. Got traded to the Knicks, traded to Portland. And now with the Lakers, it seems like the Bron effect is going to work out there. But I would like to see Booker talk about Cam Reddish and how he would like to fight him. I mean, why didn't that come up post game? Because Booker was frustrated, obviously, because he did get hit a lot.
And he had a very poor game, turning the ball over and not shooting all that well, for Devin Booker at least. All right, let's move to the second game from last night. It was the first game. We were on playback. Let's just say we were doing a lot of sporical quizzes as this one went on, because the Bucks put up 146 points. Versus the Knicks, the stingy defense of the New York Knicks. So Milwaukee goes to the tournament semifinals. Trey, we'll start with you. Your notes on this victory.
146 points is a lot. And Dame Lillard was like, we actually could have scored 165 if we shot the ball better.
They shot 60% from deep. What the hell is he talking about?
Yeah, I don't know. But it is a little scary. And I think to start the season here, Milwaukee's defense has looked so uncharacteristically bad that it takes away from the fact that their offense is exactly what everybody expected coming into this season with Dame and Giannis together as a two-man group. This was a season high in scoring for the Bucks, even though they didn't get to 165, 146, still number one. They made 23 threes. They hit 60% from the field, and they're third in offense in the league.
Yeah.
Like, eventually, by the end of the season, if they settle in the middle of the pack defensively, 15th or something, but they're a top five offense, and as we've seen, they're able to turn it up in the clutch when it actually matters. That's what the Bucks are trying to do.
Yeah.
They're not trying to be a great defensive team this year. They want a higher ceiling on the offensive end, and we're seeing it here. They've got a higher ceiling right now.
Yeah, just be great defensively in that fourth quarter. They have picked it up because they're pretty good in the fourth quarter. They were stanky to start in the bottom three or so, but now they're around 20, they're 21st, because they have capable defenders. It's just really strange to me how they've always been looking for a two-guard, just always looking for a two-guard. Who is it going to be? Is it going to be Grayson Allen the last couple of years? Dante DiVincenzo before that? They'll throw a George Hill. They'll throw whoever, Wesley Matthews even. But now they got Malik Beasley, who was a former Laker. This is a career-high three-point percentage for him, and he just loves to celebrate. on playback. That's all.
Yes, he does.
He just wiggles.
He just wiggles, man.
Yeah.
Hit six threes. I mean, wiggle all you want when you do that.
46% from three is a good
frickin' number.
That's what
he's at right now?
Yeah.
And he must, that's like all he shoots, it feels like, too.
Yep. He's hit four threes or more in five straight games. Started slow, 35% in October from three, 45% all of November. It's only been two games in December, but 58%.
Mm.
He can't play defense.
No.
But if you're making four or five threes a night, that's fine.
Yeah. I mean, last I checked, Damian Lillard's not a great defender either, but he hits five of seven threes too, and obviously is flirting with 30 points every night. And you're right, TK, the way you broke it down there. It's like, they were like, you know what? We're tired of just winning all these games with defense. Let's switch it up here and like really focus on the offensive end. That's way more fun, and we'll play just enough defense. And it is wild that they've acknowledged that they're a work in progress here, and yet the Bucks are 15-6. Remember, these games count. They're a part of your regular season record. They're 15-6 and obviously have this trip to Vegas. Like they're playing really well, and they're even still talking about like, yeah, we're not even really close to the level we can get at. That's scary for the rest of the Eastern Conference teams, rest of the league, because I think there's some truth to it too. Still figuring out things offensively, as great as they've looked with Giannis and Dame, and then on the defensive end is where they need to just like, maybe for longer stretches when you get into, you know, stronger competition to actually win a series. But it's a good start.
9-0 at home.
That's also good.
So, you know, if you're the Pacers, you're saying that's only 6-6 on the road. We got a chance.
Oh, yeah. right. Well, oh, man, this is a neutral court here on Thursday night.
Yeah.
Although the Bucks are the home team. I guess, will they hand out the Cream City rags to the people in attendance at 2 o'clock in Vegas?
Maybe. A lot of people are saying the Central Division is the strongest in the entire NBA.
Are they?
Uh-huh. Yeah, I heard a lot of that.
I didn't
a whole
know.
Lot of that.
Really, I guess the Chicago Bulls are in that, aren't they? So there's the knockout rounds, the semifinals coming up on Thursday. 5 p.m. Eastern, ESPN, and then 9 p.m. Eastern on TNT. Remember, they gotta clear out the arena after that first game. Got to pick up all those Cream City rags. Ooh, I'd hate to have that job. we also learned that ESPN and TNT are doing this like cross promotion when it comes to the broadcast. So ESPN's Mike Breen and Doris Burke will be joined by TNT analyst Reggie Miller for the early game. And then TNT's Kevin Harlan and Candace Parker will be joined by ESPN's Doc Rivers to call the action for the second game. And then in addition to the game telecasts, you know, these guys are collaborating with the pregame coverage and all of that. So you're going to have the Inside the NBA team appearing on ESPN's NBA Countdown for an extended segment, they say, and then vice versa. A lot of the Countdown people will then be on Inside the NBA. Do you care?
Wow.
Maybe. Are you excited?
I think the point is, Adam Silver's point is, get people excited for these games. Talk about them and talk to each other and let's do something different.
Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe it'll work. Will they kick fans out of after that first game?
That's absolutely.
That's a tight turnaround.
Absolutely. That's what they sold it. They're selling two tickets for sure. You got to buy two, man.
Can you get a day pass?
I don't think so.
I feel like some kids are going to get a day pass.
A day pass?
That's a 2 p.m.
You
start.
You want a 2-for-1 NBA action? This is
special
the inaugural in-season tournament, guys.
That's a great point. You can't get a sicko discount here?
Yeah, I think you can.
Because that second game is going to be all Lakers fans.
Yeah.
That's going to be 90% Lakers fans.
That's worked out well for
interested
them.
To see the first that first game at 2 p.m. local time, what the crowd is like for a Pacers-Bucks game. Hopefully, I would assume tickets will be cheap. Honestly, if you're in the Vegas area.
I did like hearing Reggie straight up call it Espen. He said, yeah, I got traded to Espen. Do you think he'll say that on the broadcast? That was awesome.
Maybe. I have a couple other notes from that second game, though, or at least the first game, I guess, last night. I thought Brook Lopez was awesome. He, like, dominated Mitchell Robinson.
Yes.
9 points, okay. That's not going to, like, you know, wow you. But 8 boards, 3 steals, and 3 blocks for Brook. But more importantly, Mitchell Robinson held to 2 points and 4 boards. That's big boy Brook doing his work inside, so he owned him. And then, unfortunately for Knicks fans, this was a total waste of Julius Randle's best game of the season. By far, 41 points, incredible efficiency. And, you know, unfortunately, again, it comes in the L here and not moving on to Vegas. Nope. That's a great game from Randle.
But they didn't play defense. Tom Thibodeau, after the game, was just yelling about you. Let's play defense. He was upset. I get it. And then when you mentioned Brooks and his blocks, and Chris Middleton had a couple blocks in this game. When you have Giannis, Brook Lopez, and an able Chris Middleton, you can throw somebody who doesn't play all that great at the shooting guard. defensively. And that's why Malik Beasley plays the shooting guard spot. Brook looked great. Put it on the floor from the three-point line at some point. Great catches on passes into the middle. Looked like old Brook. Those hands, those big mitts, no problem. Just give it to him. And he looked agile.
You guys want a little trivia when it comes to Randall? Why not?
Yeah, okay.
10 career 40-point games with the New York Knicks for Julius Randle.
Nice.
Fifth player in franchise history to reach that mark. Can you name who in Knicks history has more 40-point games? This is from our friends at Statitudes.
Melo.
Melo was 17, third on the list.
Does Pat Ewing get to that?
Pat Ewing, number one.
What's up, Ryan?
Called him Pat last night.
30 40-point games for Patrick.
Bernard
Shewing.
King.
Number two with 23. Nice. Get your pivot foot out.
Yep, get your toes.
Your heels.
Don't turn
He's all
your
heels.
Toes. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. And then one more. You got to go to the 50s and 60s for this guy. Sounds like a guy that should be like the lead singer of a band in the 50s and 60s.
Dick McGuire?
No.
DeBuscher?
No.
DeBuscher. Frazier?
This is a very tough one. Richie?
Guerin.
There you go.
That does sound like a singer.
Richie like Guerin had 14 such
Don't
games.
Call me Bobby Darin. I'm Richie Guerin.
Oh, one more thought on the Knicks, Tass. I really wanted to get your take on this. Stephen Bondi tweeted, Quentin Grimes, openly frustrated with his role, said it's tough to find a rhythm when he rarely touches the ball, stands in the corner, and gets subbed out after missing one shot. Grimes, 0 points, one shot attempt, which he missed, one board and zero assist in about 18 minutes. You love Grimes, so I wanted to get your take on this.
I've never heard QG this mad. He was upset. He's playing far fewer minutes this game. He's been highlighted a lot less. He just ain't shooting the ball. He missed that one shot. They left him wide open because it was the third quarter his first shot.
That sounds right.
It felt like he didn't touch the ball.
Yeah.
Hey, he's only playing 22 minutes. It seemed like his role was being highlighted last year. All right. He's going to be our starting guy. He's going to guard best players on the perimeter on the other side. And I think that's a huge problem with their defense. He just ain't playing enough. I'm going to blame it on that. I can understand why he's frustrated. Mm-hmm. The shot ain't there right now.
Feels a little Obi Toppin 2.0 here, possibly, with another sort of disgruntled youngish Knicks player maybe getting buried or in the doghouse with Tibbs. That's sort of what happened last year with Toppin.
Yeah, and Obi Toppin came off the bench. So maybe Quentin Grimes should do the same because DiVincenzo's outplaying him. Josh Hart is outplaying him. Those guys do other stuff besides just stand around and wait. It's a hard way to play, no doubt about it. That's why it makes a guy like Kyle Korver special. You get four shots, you have to make all of them, or at least three of them, and you have to be completely ready because, like Grimes was saying, Randall pounds the ball. Brunson pounds the ball. Barrett pounds the ball. Mitchell Robinson, all he does is catch rolls, right? Like, there's not passers in the starting lineup for the Knicks. So it's going to be tough for him to get shots in the flow of things. He's got to find a way to do something else besides just stand and wait because it's not going to happen that way. DiVincenzo cuts baseline. Josh Hart rebounds and brings the ball up the court. Like, there are ways to get involved in the offense rather than just standing out there.
And we barely talked about him before we take a break. Giannis did have 35 points and 10 assists. He was pretty good. But what he was doing after the game was making all the headlines. In his interview with Jared Greenberg, he was informed, Giannis was, that the Bucks players are now guaranteed at least $100,000 in prize money. And Giannis quipped, "The rich get richer." Mm-hmm. And then talked about sort of not being all that excited to go to Vegas because he was going to miss his family on his birthday, even though, as you pointed out here in the Classic Factory, Trey, your brother's on the team. Maybe he's tired of Thanasis. And then he had a couple other funny lines. Thoughts on the charismatic Giannis after the game.
Just killed it out there. When he was told that you're going to get $100,000 if you win, we get money? The rich get richer.
That's a great line.
He killed it out there. And I think he knows that people aren't giving him enough respect at the MVP table. Or maybe not. He's just talking. He says he only plays red 34.
That's right.
On the roulette table. I had to go look. Yeah, 34 is red. That's true.
You fact-checked him.
I checked too. Wasn't sure.
I wasn't sure. It's one of two things.
not green. No. Marshawn Beauchamp always, that's green zero. Wait, Damian Lillard, my bad. They switched jerseys.
Who's double zero? Benedict Mathurin maybe likes
double zero. Yes, indeed.
AG, Aaron Gordon.
Yeah, sure.
Anyway, yeah, he's Fitty. That's right. These double zeros.
Former double zero.
Former double zero, yeah. Yeah, he killed it. He also took into account, hey, Jerry Greenberg, it's our 21st game. I feel like we're getting better. He knows it. This was game 21 for them. Mm-hmm, he's very clear on that. We're getting better. And can't wait. Can't wait for Vegas. Yeah, he's just a very... Not excited about Vegas.
Like my family's not going to be there.
We can bring him.
Yeah,
I mean, bring him. He just made $100,000 last night.
That's true.
He's got a lot of kids, though.
Absolutely could bring him.
Couple kids.
Also, AJ Green got a bit of an in-game interview, right? Was that during one of the quarters?
Yeah.
We're sort of trying. They're trying a lot more.
It's becoming baseball. We're going to interview players during the game. That didn't used to happen.
That's right. But he was on fire. I mean, he hit three threes in this game, and there's a guy that wouldn't mind $500,000. So.
That's a guy.
So there you go. There's a guy. That guy's literally the definition of there's a guy.
There's a guy.
There's a guy that could be on No Dunks.
Oh, okay. He's making $1.9 million this year.
Yeah, that's like minimum.
Yeah. He wants that. Ooh, Chris Livingston, $1.1 million. He might be getting a 50% pay bump.
Woo! Woo, woo, woo. All right, semifinals on Thursday. We got the losers tonight. 11 games on in the association.
How are we going to watch this?
Hey, all this garbage basketball. Ugh.
These games mean nothing.
Nothing matters. Except it sort of matters in the record. No stripe on the court.
Yeah, put these teams in a loser's bracket.
Yeah, toilet bowl.
The Institute tournament.
Yeah, it used to happen when you play 3-on-3.
Battle back.
Exactly. All right, we got to take a break. And when we come back, some Is This News. Don't go anywhere.
Discover the latest collections from David Yurman, as seen recently, styled on basketball stars like Jaime Jaquez, Jalen Green, D'Angelo Russell, and others. David Yurman is a celebrated American jewelry company inspired by the beauty of art, architecture, and the natural world. The story of David Yurman begins in New York City with David, a sculptor, and his wife Sybil, a painter and ceramicist. When the artists began collaborating, their goal was to simply make beautiful designed objects to wear. Over 40 years later, the Yurmans and their son Evan continue to redefine American luxury jewelry with timeless, modern collections for women and men defined by inspiration, innovation, consummate craftsmanship, and Cable, the brand's artistic signature. David Yurman's collections are available on davidyurman.com.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
All right, here in the Classic Factory again, 11 games on tonight. We're looking at the schedule. Some of the stream teamers pointing out, is tonight the night the Pistons snap their losing streak? They've lost 17 straight games. They're at home, and they're playing the Grizzlies.
Conditions are perfect.
It could be a W. Who knows? And then the Spurs, it's sort of, I don't know, not getting talked about a lot, probably because of the Pistons, but they've lost 14 straight, and they're playing Minnesota in mini tonight. Conditions not so perfect.
Not as perfect.
No. So we'll keep our eyes on that. Also, your Hornets, your team in the Nut Dust Bowl, play your own Bulls.
Can't lose.
You really can't lose tonight. That's right. And what's Tass's team? We talked about Detroit. Yeah. My team, the Wizards, are hosting the Sixers. So also, I'm not
home game, though.
It's
home game. Game.
Yes. All right, let's get into some Is This News. Got some headlines for the boys here in the factory. First one, it's from The Athletic. It's a great article, and it was titled James Harden Unplugged. On Sixers and Daryl Morey divorce, early LA Clippers days, and more. So this is a different variation of Is This News here, but did you find any, you know, noteworthy things here in this Harden piece where he is just talking to Sam Amick and mainly about what happened with the Morey and the Sixers? Anything new to you or anything that jumped out?
I wanted it to be a little juicier. I was excited to read a James Harden. It's called Unplugged. Let's hear Harden just let it rip. I thought it'd be a little bit more. Listen, I was excited to read it, but there wasn't enough juice. It didn't seem all that accurate the way he divorced from Daryl Morey. It's still a little unclear after reading it. He does say last summer Daryl Morey told him he would get the max. He does say that.
That's made very clear. You lied to me.
Yeah, but the quote is it's
that's
it's
unplugged
not
for you. I'll play Lake of Fire next.
That's good.
Sorry,
that's good.
That's good. Which so who are you? You're not Eric Clapton.
No, Nirvana.
Okay, just needed to confirm.
Who are you?
Who are you?
Who are you?
Oh, very nice. Yeah. This was the quote. This was the quote about the divorce, about him parting with Daryl Morey. He said, "Yeah, me and Daryl had a really good relationship. So a week or two after, in the past, we'd lose in the playoffs. It would be all about trying to figure out how to improve the team. They'd talk about how do we get better, and that's been going on for like 10 years." You know what I mean? And then this year, there was no communication. And at that point, it's like, okay, I see what's going on. I'm very intelligent. So then I just figure out what's my next move and what do I do? So I understand that at the end of the day, this is a business. And just like he has to do what's best for his organization, I got to do what's best for me and my family. It's as simple as that. That doesn't say Daryl Morey sat with me and promised me. He could call Daryl and talk to him. Or did they talk? What is the story? There's not enough story. And then he says there's too much money, too much respect lost, and too much loyalty on my end to even double back with Morey. Double back.
This guy's heartbroken, like, man. Yeah. Broken promise really really affected James Harden here.
But he says we were good friends. There's nothing to talk about. There's nothing to talk about. This is real money. Okay, well, you're making
yeah,
a lot of
he's
money.
He's pissed. He said Morey offered me a max deal. I sacrificed for this team. I sacrificed money. He said, "I got you, my guy." And then he didn't. Or at least he implied
that he was not going
to. Then
he didn't call him.
Yes, right. And so then he's like, "Well, screw this. I'm opting into my final season of my contract, and I'm demanding a trade."
Not buying it. I'm just not buying it. If it was unplugged, it'd be on record. You know what I mean? You know, like if that conversation that he had with Daryl was actually what took place, we would have heard it. We would have heard it as the bonus track on your unplugged. Who are you again?
Nirvana.
On your unplugged album.
Come on, man. One of the best. What do you think, TK? You agree with Tass here? Or what are your takeaways, I guess, from the article?
Are you telling me Daryl Morey is the man who sold the world? It's a David Bowie song.
Yeah, I get it.
Who are you? I'm Nirvana playing David Bowie.
I don't know. Maybe Daryl Morey was the man who sold the max. But according to Harden, by his own timeline, before the playoffs, Daryl Morey said a max is coming. Then the playoffs happened. Daryl Morey watched him and said, "Uh-oh, we cannot max this guy out." And that's where the offer went. Harden did nothing as the Sixers were eliminated. He scored 17 points in two games on like 22 shots or something like that.
What about those other games?
Yeah, what about those
40-point games?
Should have checked in after those games, I guess. I don't know. This to me just kind of confirmed what everybody thought. It was all about the money. Because 100% every response is about getting paid. Sam Amick asked him, "When you decided you were done in Philly, was it always Clippers or nothing else? What was your thought process?" It was about trying to get to a situation where I could get paid and obviously have a chance to win at the highest level. He says that twice in that response. Yeah. I wanted to get paid. Oh, yeah, and I also want to win. I mean, obviously I want to win. But the paid stuff comes first, and that's kind of what everybody thought. He turned down a huge deal from the Nets, thought he had another one coming, and then it wasn't there. Had to figure out another way to get another huge deal.
Yep.
Yeah. And it's not like he didn't get paid. No, he did give a deal, but just to be clear, he's been paid $300 million plus $300 million until the end of last season. So he's made money.
he's doing okay.
He hasn't won a ship.
But his whole thing, like again, I'm not really coming to the defense of James Harden, but he is at least the story he is telling us, and it's sort of been consistent with is, I did sacrifice for the Sixers because of my previous relationship with Morey and the promise that he would probably take care of me moving forward, and then he did it. Financially, is what he's getting at. And then it was like, I'm done. You lied, man. Your word is no good to me. And yes, I'm gonna now stick it to you and opt in again to that $36 million, and then I'm gonna demand a trade. And now you gotta trade me. The other part from this that's raising some eyebrows is Harden did say his agent met with Udoka of the Rockets at some point when there was the rumors floating around about him maybe going back to Houston about, you know, the play of style and whatnot for the Rockets. But everybody's pointing out, like, hold on, my man, that's tampering. That's too soon. I mean, he admitted that this is exactly what happens, of course, in the NBA.
Are you not allowed to chat to have your representation chat in between, like, right? Like, he had a decision to make about whether he was going to opt into his contract or not. So if they're meeting then, is that allowed?
I thought he said it happened previously to that.
Yeah, I
though.
Couldn't really tell timeline was. Yeah, who knows?
Exactly.
Can't tell a lot of things with this article. with what James is saying. What do you got, James?
Spinning to us. All right. Let's go to the next one then. This is from Real GM, but it's really from Shams, who on FanDuel TV said the Celtics to be active in the trade market, specifically trying to help their bench. TK, is this news? Boston are going to be looking to make some moves, according to Shams.
I don't think it's news. I don't think it's really that surprising. We saw with Porzingis out against the Pacers, the defense just isn't quite the same when Kristaps isn't out there. We said coming into the year, they probably wanted to upgrade their backup center spot eventually, and that's looking like a place that they could certainly upgrade, though. Mm-hmm. Luke Kornet can do some things here and there, but maybe you want somebody more likely to be able to stay on the court during the playoffs. So I'm not completely shocked, especially having just watched the way things went down in the IST with Indiana. So my first thought is Andre Drummond, come on down. The Celtics have definitely been linked to Alex Caruso, so I would wonder if maybe this is like a two-for-one sort of deal that the Celtics would be interested in. Because Andre Drummond is a really good backup center, and he would be helpful to the Celtics, I think, a team that has struggled rebounding in the past and continues to. I think he would be helpful there. And then obviously Caruso is a guy who's going to help basically every contender. So I'm assuming there's got to be some kind of chats going on.
That's a good call about Drummond. It seems like we just talked about the Lakers. A big backup center would be beneficial. I know Drummond has played for the Lakers, but just throw somebody out there. We've seen it before. You know, do you want to go get a Greg Monroe? That kind of guy, those kind of guys will be moved. And Drummond is a huge body that would help out. That being said, they definitely know who their starting five is with Drew Holiday and Derek White in the backcourt, the Jays and Kristaps Porzingis, and Al Horford is guaranteed to come off the bench. But beyond that, beyond those six, they have some hope in Peyton Pritchard. They have guys coming off the bench in Banton, Mekhi Luke, Brissett, O'Shea Brissett, Mar Stevens, the Cornette, the Keita, but beyond Horford, they want somebody else to help out for sure. So yeah, this is something they'll be looking for, and it's probably the big spot.
They have control over most of their future first round picks, but they're pretty limited, the Celtics are, when it comes to like matching salary in a trade because of all their top end talent. They do have a $6.2 million trade exception that they can use to take back salary without sending anyone out. So maybe that's something to watch. But yeah, the trick to me is finding somebody in the salary range to be the difference maker. I love the idea of a Caruso Drummond targeting those two guys. I think that really would help out Boston, but can they get there? And then adding salary to the Celtics books here, I mean, you're looking at 3 to 4 times the salary because of where they are when you're calculating the tax bill. So Caruso, I saw people saying could someone like Jeff Green even, could you get him from the Rockets as a guy that's obviously helped before in playoff situations, as a vet that you can trust on, sort of a wing defender? It makes some sense to me, but I don't know if Houston would be even willing to eventually part with him. But
probably
we'll
they would. There were some other Rockets I thought as well. Yeah. Like Jeff Green I think would be fine, but they probably want a beefier dude.
Maybe
Jock Landale. I know they were after Reggie Bullock during the summer as well, so maybe they can steal him. I'm a little curious to see if the Celtics would trade Peyton Pritchard after just signing him to an extension or a new deal over the summer, because that could be a spot they upgrade as well. And he has a decently sized salary compared to some of the other players at the end of their bench, you know, like the Mekhi Lukes and the O'Shea Brissetts, who make $2 million. At least Pritchard makes $4 million. So, it's a little closer to be able to maybe acquire a Chetty Osman, a Precious Achiuwa, if you will. There are names out there, but you got to trade something to be able to take it back.
Yep. All right, next headline here from CBS Sports. 76ers Kelly Oubre Jr. speaks out on traumatic hit-and-run incident and addresses conspiracy theorists. Tass, is this news?
Well, it is strange that there was a video of him entering what looked like his place.
Yeah.
I guess it was a Ring video, a camera within his door. Now, that was weird. So then the conspiracy theorists begin, there's just talk about how he was hit by a vehicle. Fact is, he was hit by a vehicle. And Kelly Oubre has been incredible for the Sixers team prior to that happening. He was signed just before training camp. And how do you sign that guy to a very small deal, a minimum deal? He comes in and was averaging 20 for a while and starting at times. And he's coming off the bench. So investigators are looking into how he was hit by a vehicle. The news is good that he's back. Mm-hmm. That he is able to play, because there was talk about right off the gate, whoa, let's go to the hospital. He could be out for a long time. Yeah, who knows if there's video of him being hit by a vehicle, but that's, you know, not for the internet to really do the investigation on.
This was newsworthy to me because I didn't know there was like a conspiracy going around about this. So what is the conspiracy, that he wasn't hit by a vehicle?
Well, basically the police said that they looked at cameras where he said he got hit and they couldn't find any footage of it, which is why the Ring camera then came out. His team basically leaked it to TMZ saying, yes, I was injured when I came back, but I just think it's more likely that he doesn't exactly know where it happened than that it didn't happen. But it's great that he's going to be coming back. He hasn't played in like a month, like Tass said. He's basically been playing the best basketball of his career to start the season, but in the month he's been out, the 76ers team has definitely changed, right? Covington is in the mix. Batum is in the mix. Marcus Morris has actually been starting. So I don't know if the role that Kelly Oubre had before his injury will necessarily be there. They still need what he can bring, his athleticism, the way he runs the court, and just, a quicker guy on the wing compared to Batum and Covington, who are maybe more of fours than threes. So I think he can help, but he probably doesn't play quite as important of a role as he was before the Harden trade.
Yeah, before the incident, he was averaging 16.3 points per game, 5 boards, shooting 50% from the field and 38% from deep. We'll see how he slots back in. They only went 5-6 in the games that Kelly Oubre did miss there, so struggled a little bit after the very, very hot start. But we'll see if he can get back to the levels he was at pre-injury. I mean, they said he broke a rib, right? Mm-hmm. Wasn't that the initial sort of injury?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
From getting hit by this vehicle that then fled the scene, and they don't even know who did it, can't find it. Crazy. Final one here. Why not? ESPN says the NBA to allow scouting of top prospects in Vegas. TK, is this news?
This is great news for all the logistics heads out there. Apparently, the NBA partnered with some high school leagues, some high school circuits to have a huge tournament in Las Vegas. Oh, by the way, the NBA just happens to be there.
Right.
So, yeah, go ahead and check out these prospects. And I'm sure this stuff will be broadcast on the NBA app because Cooper Flagg will be there. Mm. And he's going to Duke next season, so they can't run all of his games on the NBA app when he's playing in the NCAAs. Good time to get a look at Cooper Flagg, I do believe. So, I don't know, just kind of interesting to see that the NBA is more and more so reaching their fingers into high school basketball.
Yeah.
It's really developing between the NBA and high school. This is just one of the high school events that the NBA is allowed to look at through April. There's several of them that are going to happen because front offices have just been wanting to figure out, how good is this high school player?
Well, a lot of these guys aren't going to college now.
Exactly. Is the game done changed.
Yeah. So they're like, when can we get a chance to look at them?
Yeah.
Obviously, you can, as a prospect.
But. And you can even take a year off. It is interesting to see where these guys go. Like Shaedon Sharpe, Mitchell Robinson, they had the Kentucky talks, but they also decide, you know, I'm not going to play too much because I'm going to get drafted next year. Or like Darius Bazley just didn't even end up going anywhere. He thought about playing with the G League, where a lot of players are going or going internationally, but he said, nah, took a 3-month internship with New Balance, got paid a mil for that. Okay, that's what he did in his year between high school and playing. And then he got drafted 23rd overall. So it has changed things, and it definitely changes things for college, because you go to Calipari's Kentucky and you say, you know what, I'm playing 2 games, I'm good till next year. I've got my thing developed. So things are changing for colleges, and yeah, for the NBA overall.
For those that don't know, in the past, NBA teams were not allowed to attend any high school team events because of the no contact rules, which were put in place in the David Stern era to keep NBA scouts out of high school gyms. But this is these rules have been gradually getting loosened, I guess, and now we're getting to this point where the NBA is saying, here are a list of these high school events that you can go and scout. You can go watch Cooper Flagg take on, you know, Trey Johnson, I guess, who's committed to Texas, who's pretty high in the 2024 class. we allow it. You know, you can argue whether they should be, but sounds like you guys are okay with it, that it's going to be happening anyway. So why not, like, sanction it, I guess? Or do you want it to be the Wild West again, and they could be scouting grade schoolers?
I mean, if we're going to be scouting high schoolers and putting their games in the app, you should be able to draft them.
Right, right, right.
Would be my thing.
All right, well, let's hear from everybody out there. Those four headlines, were they newsworthy, and your takes. We're going to take one more break, and when we come back, Tweet of the Night.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
DirecTV gives you access to apps like Netflix and live sports right next to each other.
I don't get it.
Let me put it in pigeon terms. It's like that one amazing dumpster with the old fruit and cardboard all in one place.
How am I supposed to keep up with illustrative metaphors when you are making me so hungry?
Get live TV and streaming apps together without a satellite. Visit DirecTV.com. Requires high-speed internet-connected Gemini device and separate paid subscription to watch Netflix on DirecTV. Terms and restrictions apply.
Hit the like, subscribe, podcast listeners, leave us a 5-star rating and review. People were asking, 5-star Friday. Possibly on Friday, TK?
Okay.
Yeah, it's in the mix, so yep. Get your reviews in. Running out of days if you want to make that fun segment there on the drop. All right, Tweet of the Night time.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Twitter.
Initially, I was going with Rui Hachimura in that black mask he was wearing.
Looks cool.
Coming back from that fracture. Yeah, it's a little head nod to Kobe wearing that mask, or Kyrie. The black mask
LeBron.
On a face. LeBron. Yeah, there's been plenty. But then I saw us in a tweet. Nick Buccelli designed these cards of us. I like trade cards. I want cards to come back a little bit more so that we each have one. Jerome, sorry. Got to get Nick on making you one. So there's four of us there: Skeets, Trey, JD, myself. All have our own separate cards, podcast cards, Skybox trading cards featuring us. How do you guys feel about seeing some cards?
I hate mine.
I hate mine too.
Yeah, well, you can pick.
I would rather have your cards. But this is a great. Great work here from Nick.
Yeah, one of the great sets out there, Skybox 9091, but poor action shots.
Yeah, no doubt. I feel like I'm a lot more animated than what I'm doing. I'm literally scrolling on my mouse. I look a little surprised.
In beaker mode, it looks like. I also like that you're wearing the starters t-shirt, like you're a player who got traded in the off season, but they don't have a photo of you in your new jersey.
Yeah, it's almost like an error card. You don't know this, but it says fuck you on the bottom of my mug, Billy Ripken style. JD, you don't like yours?
I hate mine.
I don't mind yours.
Well, you know, I get that it's an action shot, but I don't know. I might have a little look at the camera or something. Looking up.
If you do like the look of these, don't we have a shirt available at nodunks.com that that plays off of this?
Classic Factory.
Yeah. Check it out. All right. Awesome stuff. Good
awesome
tweet,
stuff. Yes.
Yours is the best. Well, one of yours, too, is the best.
Yours is cool because your head has a halo around it.
Yeah. I like the halo over the stripes. Yeah.
Yours is cool.
Yeah. Jocelyn's stripes, get out of here. I want a pattern. I want a shape. But we can work it out. Actually, my card sucked, so I told Nick make a new one.
Oh.
And he put the halo. No. But yeah, I'm sure Nick is up for hearing some things, for some designs.
To give a quick update on maybe what inspired that, or I believe what inspired that, the Brian Windhorst card signed. Wendy reached out to me. He said, "You really want this?" I said, "I absolutely want this. We need this in the Classic Factory." So, fingers crossed. I believe it's coming.
Wow!
It should be in the mail during the holiday time here.
I want a story. I want a story of how that card came to life. Where he signed that. When it happened.
He addressed it on one of the pods. They have a representative from Allen and Ginter there, Tops or whatever, whoever runs it. Come, you got to confirm that he signed it.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really official,
so they
man.
Talked about
there's
it.
A That's there's great. A Bomani Jones card in one of those sets. There's a couple other ones. collect them all. And hey, anybody at Tops, Alan Ginter, wants some No Dunks cards? We are available as well.
And I only want the No Dunks ones.
You only want the No Dunks. You don't want a Windy card?
I would.
Yeah, you do.
I would 100% have a Windy, but I would want the shot, that shot of him like standing, like, you know, like stanced up, posing.
Yeah. That's here's what I would want. I want hologram Windy of him coming in on the chair. When he flew through, but you hologram it and it comes in and out, in and out.
We could have Shaq playing with your beard on yours.
Oh, that'd be nice.
Yeah,
that'd be
you really guys cool. Want hologram cards.
Shaq just walking by on the basketball court. Yeah. Gave Trey's beard a fluff right. Once upon a time.
Cards.
Oh, yeah, the wind horse fingers up.
Oh, that would
fingers
be
up.
Yeah.
This guy's a meme factor.
Yeah,
he's
no
awesome.
Doubt.
I do want a wind horse card now.
I want a whole collection.
This guy's going to be able to successfully change the pronunciation of his name. I heard J.J. Redick calling him Windhurst on a podcast.
Oh, that's great respect.
It's taking over,
that's
man.
Respect, man.
That is respect.
Redick's a profesh, that's why.
I didn't realize the Allen and Ginter was Tops, though.
Yeah, it's like a subset or whatever. Yeah. Mm. I don't know enough about it. Just call it Tops.
Okay, it's sure. A better name than Alan Ginter, no?
Sure. Yeah, it is.
Alan and Ginter was a Richmond, Virginia tobacco manufacturing company. What?
This guy's learning today. This is great. Great.
Ginter. Film created and marketed the first cigarette cards for collecting and trading in the United States.
Oh, so it's paying homage. Yeah, yeah. It's paying homage.
Old timey look, I believe, right?
Yeah, that's what it is. Yep. All right, talking cards here on No Dunks. Let's call it there. We're going to take a break and then do another podcast, but it's special. It's going to air during the holiday season. That's why our guy Jerome is here. We're going to have a blast, but you got to subscribe to the No Dunks on YouTube and podcast for that one again. That's the Christmas break when we were dropping some Christmas presents under your audio tree. What? But we'll be back tomorrow.
That's a thing.
I don't know how to end that.
yeah, you wait till I try and end the show with a quote. It's going to be awful.
But we're back tomorrow morning is what I was trying to get to. 10 a.m. Eastern here in the Classic Factory to talk about these shitty games tonight. I think TK's got something special for us lined up as well. So we'll be here at 10 a.m. Eastern. Until then, Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, Alan and Ginter's first cigarettes were actually Alan and Ginger that you smoked. Isn't that disgusting?
That's what you lined up.
I made that up.
Yeah.
I don't know. Who knows what's in a cigarette? There could be a little ginger in there.
Oh
yeah. It's a lot of nicotine. Yeah, yeah. Flavors.
Yeah.
What's combined?
All right. Don't embrace smoking, people. Embrace the day.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.